always liked trees. Climbing trees, pressing their leaves into books, swinging on ropes from their branches. And I guessed that trees liked us too. But maybe they don't like us at all. Maybe instead...
Trees hate us!
You are listening to the Arkansas Radio Theater. Tonight's broadcast is Trees Hate Us, an original radio play by David J. Eshelman. It is directed by Dr. Eshelman, with assistance from Sheldon Slinkard. The broadcast stars Cameron Foster, Grace Quay, Natasha Rackley, Gina Swain, Carrie Threlkeld, William Royster, and I am Katie Jackson. And now to our program. Imagine a quaint little cottage in a quaint little state. Let's say Arkansas. A quaint little cottage with that floor plan common to houses built between the wars. And behind, a giant oak. A giant red oak. A northern red oak. For even in the south, there are northern oaks. But it is rare. Huge, with heavy branches, each a full-grown trunk in size. The heavy branches never sway, even though the air is fresh and pleasant for September. Imagine an old man reclining near the base of the tree. His blue hat covers his eyes. His breathing is slow. Suddenly, a young girl with a princess shirt, glittery though stained, comes upon him.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Sir?
The old man does not stir, though a dragonfly big as a sparrow whizzes by his folded hands.
Sir?
An old woman pops out from behind the garage, where she has been admiring surprise lilies. She wears a shirt for environmental causes and a floppy hat to shade her lively eyes.
Maya, you stop that.
Grandma?
You put down that stick, young lady. You were going to poke Mr. Benedetti.
Is he dead?
Well, of course not. He's asleep. Right, Mr. Benedetti? I say, right, Mr. Benedetti? Mr. Benedetti?
The old woman nudges the old man with her foot.
Ugh.
At this point, a younger fellow, shy of 40, drives up in a car he can barely afford.
Mother, not another dead one.
He can hear you.
Not dead yet. Soon enough, my boy.
Who is he?
Mr. Benedetti. I picked him up at Floral Acres.
Is he?
Yes, he's my new boyfriend.
That's not what I meant.
Is he dying? Yes, he is dying.
Doctor says I should be dead already.
But we're all dying if you think about it.
Yes. Mother, may I have a word?
The son takes his mother, rather too roughly, to the other side of the mammoth oak.
You can't keep confusing your romantic life with a hospice. Think about Maya.
As if she hasn't seen enough of death.
That's what I mean, Mother.
Jeffrey, death scares people. Most people, I should say, but not me. I realized that with your father. Yes, it was no more rosebuds and jolly days, but there was still something. Something beautiful. Right up to the end. Most people can't appreciate that, but I have that gift.
But Maya...
Do you want her to be scared all the time? Look.
This tree, little girl, is a red oak. You can't tell from the bark. But I worked for a tree service when I was young and spry. I cut some limbs from this very tree, red as blood.
Does it drip?
Just red in the wood, sweetie.
See, Jeffrey, it...
Suddenly, an awful crack. A giant limb, big as a birch, comes crashing down. Like peacock feathers folded over a chick, the leafy blanket covers and conceals those below.
Mr. Benedetti?
Maya!
I'm under these branches!
Are you hurt?
Just scratched. Mr. Benedetti?
Not dead yet.
Meanwhile, in another dimension, where arboreal spirits drift like spills in a pool, the trees are having a convocation.
Dret! Dret! And double dret! I thought I'd get at least one of them.
You should have dropped more precisely.
Quiet, Magnolia. your smelly flowers and your evergreenery. How I hate you.
Don't blame me for your bad aim, you deciduous drip. Why can't it be winter so you'd be dormant?
If I could uproot you, send you roots over branches. Oh, but I would. Ow, that hurt. I probably should have kept that limb.
Oh, Oak, all that exposed red flesh.
I'm dripping sap.
If you drop too many branches, you'll lose balance.
And fall right onto you?
Now, Oak, you're not mad at me.
Smelly flowers.
Be more peaceful.
I have nothing to do but grow old and hate the world.
Feel the wind.
I hate the wind. I hate flowers. I hate butterflies and hummingbirds. But you know what I hate most of all?
Human beings.
With every fiber of my xylem and phloem, I hate them. And I finally hatched a plan to destroy them, Magnolia. I may not be fast, but I'm old and wise.
Old, sure.
I ate an owl recently.
You what?
I ate an owl. She had alighted on my bowels in such a way that I was able to eat her. Circumstances have to be exactly right. Moonbeams at just the right trajectory. Wind gusts just perfect. Soil appropriately frothy. But yes, we trees can eat things. You should try it.
I'd rather not.
Then keep quiet. So I ate this owl and absorbed all her knowledge.
Oh.
They travel far and wide and see things. Caves and barns and such.
Huh?
And I learned from this owl that there's a way for trees to... How do I put this for someone of your intellect?
My intellect?
There is a way for trees to cast their spirits into the bodies of humans.
What?
Circumstances have to be just right, but it can be done, and I intend to do it.
Why would you want?
Don't you get it? Once I cast my spirit into the body of a human, then I'll be able to decimate the whole race.
You are listening to the Arkansas Radio Theater production of
Trees Hate Us!
An original play by David J. Eshelman. The cast includes Grace Quay, Gina Swain, and William Voister. We now return to our story. The young girl Maya is raking up debris from the crash with the help of her grandmother's dying friend.
Oh!
Did I frighten you, little girl?
No, Mr. Benedetti, it's just that...
Afraid of another branch? That tree looks solid to me, and I worked for a tree service when I was young and spry. But play somewhere else if you'd rather.
This tree used to be my favorite thing in the yard. I'd stand on the knotty places where the roots stick up. But now...
Well, I have a secret. I worked with trees for years, and I believe that really, trees are not our friends.
The grandmother pops out again from behind the garage, her t-shirt promoting a new environmental cause.
Jim, Ed, that's the dumbest thing I've heard.
Carlos Castaneda wrote that we should never enter the realms of trees. He believed that our auras could travel freely.
Buff!
But he said to steer clear of trees because they wished us harm.
Nonsense.
Well, we keep chopping them down and mowing over saplings.
I get my truth from the Bible, thank you, Jim Ed.
Bible says that trees are evil.
Foolish.
The tree of knowledge gets off while the snake takes the blame. But really, Luladine, who's at fault?
Yes, well, what about the burning bush?
Shrubs aren't trees. Shrubs reveal God's glory or have useful rams stuck in them. But what about Jesus and the fig tree? Trees just aren't Christian, I tell you, Luladine.
Just then, a middle-aged lady, dressed in a smart suit for Southern women, comes slogging up the driveway, her heels stick in the gravel.
Excuse me. May I help you? My name is Miss Harold Tweet. Pleased to meet you, Harold. I didn't mean. I'm Luladine. This is my granddaughter, Maya, and my friend, Mr. Benedetti. I'm from the State Tree Society, a charitable group of women like me. We're responsible for Tree Day.
Do you mean Arbor Day?
No, but we do love trees, with their mighty limbs, masculine silhouettes, and we like putting plaques on things. Which brings me to the purpose of my visit. Our society has deemed your oak an Arkansas wonder tree. A what now? An Arkansas wonder tree.
At this point, Jeffrey, the father, pulls into the driveway with his too expensive car.
Nobody's naming this tree nothing. There will be no plaques, no nothing. This tree is coming down.
Dad!
I called the service this morning. They'll bring their trucks on Monday. This old oak is a menace and needs to be destroyed.
It's a state treasure.
You can take your state treasure and...
Jeffrey!
It almost killed my little girl. It's toast.
And fuming, the father huffs his way into the house, his mother and daughter trailing behind him. Mrs. Harold Tweet, suppressing her fury in a most southern manner, walks slinkingly back to her car. And Mr. Benedetti? Why, old Mr. Benedetti just pulls his hat over his eyes, lies at the base of the tree, and settles in for a snooze. Meanwhile, the conflict continues inside the cottage as the family assembles at supper.
You two stop staring. Butter the bread, Maya. And Mother, would it kill you to put some soup on the stove?
I don't know why you're angry at me.
I know what you'll say.
You do not. Oh, these soup cans with their edges. I'm bleeding. Jeffrey, you have brought anger into this house, and now I'm bleeding.
Here's a paper towel, Grandma.
Old newspaper is good enough.
Dad, please don't kill our tree.
Honey, it's not just that I want the tree gone. I also want its lumber for hardwood flooring. You know that my bedroom and Grandma's bedroom both have pretty floors, and yours doesn't. Well, red oak is hard to come by, and here we have it in our own backyard.
I like my rug.
Well, I like floors.
Jeffrey?
Don't you start.
I'm not.
I know what you'll say.
I support you.
What?
You have to protect your family first. We've seen too many heavy branches fall. It needs to go.
Grandma!
It's for the best.
As this drama ensues, another is unfolding in the backyard, below the menacing limbs of the controversial oak. The quiet, yet powerful drama of life and death. Old Mr. Benedetti, his hat shielding his eyes, is battling his body to draw his final breaths. His looming demise is finally here, and much anticipated death reaches out to take him in its calm embrace. What does he see before he spies the throne of God? Are there whirls of color? A feeling of pleasant confusion, like drifting off to sleep. Are there visions of loved ones? We will never know, not until we join Mr. Benedetti in the hereafter. But for now, it is enough that he, like those before him, has expired. As if in benediction, the clouds open and pour down a light rain. And Mr. Benedetti's hand makes no move to wipe the droplets away. Elsewhere, in the world of trees, there is an uproar.
Now's my chance, Magnolia. It's perfect.
What?
There's a dead human leaning against my trunk. When does this ever happen? We must be untree-like and act fast. Push me.
Push you?
You've seen the animals do it.
I am rooted.
Use your spirit. Use your power.
And, not knowing how she does it, the Magnolia lifts the spirit of the oak upward, where reality splits into a kind of breach. And the spirit of the oak is sucked through. Meanwhile, in the human world, a tiny dot appears amidst the bark of the big red oak. There, like an old-fashioned balance in an inscrutable store, the layers of lichen part tectonically, and a vast intake of air, the Greeks would say spirit, gusts upward and out, like a lofty ship with an upsinking anchor. And the tendrils, like the myriad legs of a man of war, accost the dead man's body and inject into him, with fairy-like precision, a spirit that ought not be in this world. And a flash appears in Mr. Benedetti's eyes. The tendrils fall back, and the old man, reanimated, rises and throws down his hat.
Now we'll see who does the chopping.
You are listening to the Arkansas Radio Theater. Tonight's broadcast is...
Trees Hate Us!
An original play by David J. Eshelman. We return to the cottage for the next part of our story.
Where's Mr. Benedetti?
He was outside.
The grandmother looks out the window.
He's out by the tree in the rain. Maya, will you call him in?
Foregoing her jacket, Maya exits the back door and hurries to the oak.
Mr. Benedetti, don't scare me!
Come closer, and I shall strike you with my limb.
It's time to eat.
For now, I desire nothing more than a cutting implement.
A pair of scissors?
A gleaming thing with a sharp edge.
A knife?
That's what I want. I need a knife too. Hack away at things.
They're in the kitchen. It's wet. Mr. Benedetti, did you hurt your leg?
I merely move with the gait of a biped. See me moving, one appendage before the other. I am not rooted to the ground. See? And my appendages move of their own accord.
Move your appendages faster, then. We're getting soaked. Mr. Benedetti!
I have fallen to the ground. Perhaps I can right myself.
Here.
Maya extends her hand.
Ow! You scratched me!
I have damaged your outer covering. I tried to strike you, but see? Unrooted, I fell to the ground.
Why would you scratch me?
To cause great damage.
Get in the house, you silly.
You expect me to enter that horror show of wood? Ah, the stench of my brethren.
Just go in.
You two are soaked.
Something's wrong with Mr. Benedetti.
Jim Ed, why are you walking funny?
Your walk is also humorous. One appendage before the other.
Jeffrey, help him to the table.
Take my hand.
You will not damage me.
No one's trying to... Ow! What'd you do that for, you old devil?
I have caused your limb to ooze sap.
What's wrong with you? Mother?
Maya, get your father a bandage. Jim Ed, sit down. What has gotten into you?
I need a knife.
We're having soup. You don't need a knife?
I do because, with it, I will chop away at you. I will chip at you good.
I think he wants an axe.
Yes. Chop. 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 Give me an axe. Give me a knife.
Mother.
You have to calm down.
I can keep my identity hidden no longer. I am not the elderly human.
To give weight to his announcement, the strange figure attempts to stand on a chair. But unused to movement, he cannot quite manage. Furthermore, he notices the substance from which the chair is made, and, turning his eyes round and round the room...
Wood! Wood! Everywhere! Wood!
He crashes through the chair and falls to the ground.
Mr. Benedetti?
I'll call an ambulance.
As they wait for paramedics to come, the father moves the old man's body to a small side bedroom. The daughter stands at a distance and watches the sleeping old man. The grandmother quietly stirs her soup.
Mother, I told you...
Don't you yell at me, Jeffrey.
I know you mean well.
He's an old man.
But he's still a man.
I know.
Sometimes when they start to lose their minds, something still remains. And it's not something nice.
I know.
It's...
I know. He can't stay. He was sweet, though, Jeffrey. You should have seen him raking leaves with Maya. They were out there most of the afternoon.
He can't stay.
I know. He reminds me of your father, that's all.
Maya, come away from the bedroom.
Is he hurt badly?
I don't know.
He looks lost.
Then pray for him, dearie.
I will.
And the little girl, her shirt still damp, kneels by the refrigerator and prays long and hard.
She reminds me a lot of Rosie.
I know.
Rosie would have been so proud. She's a good girl, Jeffrey.
That's why I get scared.
and everyone gets momentarily lost. Maya, lost in her fervent prayer. Her father and grandmother, lost in their soup. They don't have the heart to interrupt the little praying Madonna and call her to supper. At this point, a thin branch begins to tap on the window of the bedroom where the old man is installed. He knows the sound well. A twig, wood against something.
Magnolia?
It is his old yardmate, Magnolia. She is outside the window. In all of their years of shared living, this is the closest they have ever come. Furtively, the old man rises, his hips shooting splinters of pain, and comes to the window. Glass is a mystery to him. He thinks to blast his hand right through, but his experiences have taught him to be wary. Instead, he uses his fingers like clinging vines until he gets the window open.
Magnolia? You're so beautiful close up.
The branches brush his face, the wind making the action seem more desperate.
Magnolia, I want to talk to you. I want to talk, but I can't hear you.
He grabs the branch and, impulsively, brings it to his mouth in a half kiss. Somehow, in that action, he manages to hear his old friend from the tree world.
Oak, for heaven's sake, come home!
Not until I've done damage.
Just come home.
I want them to feel what we feel. To be torn down, milled and whittled, tossed in a fire.
Come home.
Not till I decimate the species.
You are one tree. You have no plan. Come home. And Oak, I'm afraid if you don't hurry, you may never come back.
You don't think?
Your trunk is here, with no spirit.
But...
I miss you. Come back.
You miss me?
You're all I have. Hurry!
Mr. Benedetti?
The little girl looks up just as the old man lets go of the branch. Communication is cut off.
Were you talking to that tree?
Little girl, take me back outside!
I can't!
I need my tree! I beg you.
I can't.
I won't hurt you. Please. Please.
The ambulance comes blazing down the street.
Jeffrey, they've got the wrong house.
Wrong house. Wrong house.
As the father and grandmother chase down the ambulance, the girl takes her chance with the old man in the rainy backyard. Though his hip feels split, he moves with all the swiftness an oak can muster. He clings to the girl for support, and though his hands twist like thorny sticks, he tries not to prick her tender skin.
Mr. Benedetti, are you a tree?
Please keep moving, my warm-blooded friend.
But are you a tree?
Can a human be a tree? We are so different. Please move quickly.
Why do you want...
This is where I belong. I almost gave it up. Little girl, set me down on these soft grasses. Lean me against this old trunk, my old friend.
Mr. Benedetti?
He is gone. Don't let that surprise you.
You're a tree. I heard you talking. You're a tree.
What can I say?
Do trees really hate us?
What do you think?
I think trees see that we people are good. That we try to be good.
Trees hate you with a hatred that you cannot begin to conceive. They wish you so much ill that your spirit should shriek within you. Hatred, hatred undyingly red and drippy. Only your deaths will bring us final joy. And now, if you'll excuse me.
The light fades from Mr. Benedetti's eyes, and the spirit of the tree seeps back into the huge red oak, its proper resting place.
Maya! Maya!
She's out back, Jeffrey, by the tree!
Maya, thank heaven. The old man?
I'm sorry you had to see this, dear.
The father and grandmother put their arms around the girl and walk her through the rain to the dry house with its cozy floors, where they dry off, finish their soup, and try not to think about the body out back. The paramedics gather the corpse and take it to its final resting place, a casket made of wood. You are listening to the Arkansas Radio Theater production of
Trees Hate Us!
An original play by David J. Eshelman. The cast includes Cameron Foster, Natasha Rackley, and Carrie Threlkeld, And I'm Katie Jackson. We now return to the conclusion of our story. The rain grows heavier and continues all weekend. Monday, when the sun finally shows her face, the yard is a lake of puddles. Maya stands out back, balancing on the gnarly roots to keep her feet dry.
Maya, you'll get muddy.
I don't want Dad to chop down the tree.
I don't know what to do.
Well, I know what to do. We must save your tree.
It's Mrs. Harold Tweet from the State Tree Society.
I have an injunction from a judge. You cannot kill this tree.
As she speaks, the father pulls up in his car that costs too much. Its wheels spin mud.
It's my tree, and I'll do what I want.
The law will stop you.
Get off my property.
This gem is an Arkansas wonder tree. If you hurt it, so help me, you'll go to jail.
A giant limb plummets from the air, nearly cracking Mrs. Tweet's skull.
Oh! Are you all right?
Oh!
I think I read about an exemption to the State Tree Act. If it's falling, chop it down.
Oh!
Dad, let the tree be.
It's a menace.
Then put a fence around it.
But...
She's right, Jeffrey. It's not near any power lines. It's far from the garage. Just let it be.
But the tree service is coming.
No, they're not. They called and said it was too wet.
But trees hate us.
Yes, they do. But that doesn't mean that we have to hate them.
But I want to protect you.
You do. But you can't save me from everything.
Falling branches, strange old men.
Trees have caused a lot of trouble, Daddy. But that's why we should love them, not hate them. The Bible says to love your enemies.
She's got a point. It's easy to love your friends. It's biblical to love those who want to kill you.
I concur.
But trees fall.
Don't play the victim. We're winning the war, for goodness sake. Let's be magnanimous for once and give trees a break.
But the lovely wood.
Jeffrey?
Fine. We'll put up a fence and keep people away from this wicked old heap.
Thanks, Dad.
I'll call off the tree service and bring in the fence makers instead.
Hallelujah. This gorgeous old oak will keep growing to bring joy to a future generation. Now, if you'll just let me pass, I'll affix a plaque.
Watch out, ma'am!
Oh!
Ma'am?
Oh, my. I think the tree really is crazy.
Oh! We tried to tell you.
And Mrs. Tweet claws her way out of the foliage, never quite getting plaque to bark. Meanwhile, in the dimension of trees...
Drat, drat, and double drat! I almost got the lady with the funny hat. I almost got her good.
Didn't you learn anything?
I learned not to move my spirit into a dead man, yes. But that just reinforces my mission. I will drop these limbs until I crush many a human skull.
Oak.
Don't try to stop me, Magnolia.
You're running out of limbs.
Well, so I am.
I'm glad you're back.
Stinky flowers.
I'm glad you're back, you silly old oak. Let's make this next century a good one.
If trees could kiss, they might have done so. But, of course, trees can't kiss. So they just stood there, growing side by side. The end. You've been listening to the Arkansas Radio Theater. Tonight's broadcast was Trees Hate Us, an original play by David J. Eshelman. The cast was as follows. Grace Quay as Maya, William Voister as her father, Gina Swain as her grandmother, Natasha Rackley as Mrs. Harold Tweet, Carrie Threlkeld as the Magnolia, and Cameron Foster as Mr. Benedetti and the Old Oak. I am Katie Jackson. Again, you have been listening to Trees Hate Us, an Arkansas Radio Theater production. Thank you, and have a good night.